But on to our lesson, contact with Jesus. If you look at Mark chapter 5, then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." Folks, I don't know about you, but I don't watch the horror flicks and the scary stuff on TV. They got some crazy stuff. I think the last scary movie, the only scary movies I ever watched was Exorcist and The Shining. You know, that tells you how long ago when I quit watching that kind of stuff. Hello. And it's nice if you call somebody or just share what was going on here. Put on speaker. They can listen to the lesson. I'm just kidding. But that tells you how far back I stopped watching that kind of stuff. But if you think about someone who has these character traits, obviously people had tried to help him, put him in chains so he didn't hurt himself. Obviously people cared about this person at one time or another. Obviously people stayed away from this guy. Obviously he had to isolate himself from everything else. And obviously, it was the darkness that was controlling his life. It was demons. And folks, it doesn't happen quite as apparent as it did back in those times, because after Jesus died and arose from the grave, folks, a lot of this type of stuff transpiring quit. It doesn't happen anymore. But as far as in our hearts, and as far as evil controlling us, folks, it's great to see somebody see Jesus from afar and run to him and worship him. Title of our lessons, Contact with Jesus. This is the worst of the worst. Somebody that was alone, somebody by himself, somebody that nobody could control. The minute he sees Jesus, the minute he recognizes how great Jesus is, he says, "I implore you by God that you do not torment me." Well, when we think of torment, what do we think? Tease? You know? Needle? Poke fun at? I'm not for sure exactly what torment means here. In this specific passage, I didn't even research it from that perspective. But why would he ask Jesus not to do something we consider kind of evil? Maybe tempt me? Don't try me? Okay? So if we think about it in that terms, don't challenge me? We think about that in that terms, do we ask Jesus that in our lives? Don't bother me. Don't challenge me. Don't ask me to do something. Some of us feel tormented when we have to wash the dishes, when we have to clean the house, when we have to take care of something. Oh, that's just such a trial. And here this person is asking Jesus, "Don't put anything else on me. Don't bother me. I'm okay where I'm at." As evil and terrible as he was, cutting himself by himself, no control of himself. He sees Jesus, he runs to him, and then he says, "Hey, I don't want your help." Obviously, it's the demon speaking through him. Folks, do we know people in our lives today that do the same thing? "Hey, Jesus. Hey, I love you. I worship you. I don't want to change. I don't need your help. I just need your blessings. I just want the good parts. I just want you as a Lord and Savior for what I can get out of you instead of what I can do for the kingdom of heaven." And continuing in Mark chapter 5, "For he said to them, 'Come out of the man, unclean spirit.' Then he asked him, 'What's your name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, 'Send us to the swine, that we may enter them.' And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine, and there were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea and drowned into the sea." Let's make a good short story, this whole story. But can you imagine that? 2,000 evil demons. And here's a question. They asked Jesus, "Hey, help us out here. They're demons. Wouldn't you assume they do what they want to do? Wouldn't you assume that they'd hop from person to person? Or if Jesus said, 'Come out of them,' they'd just say, 'You know what? I'm going into that swine over there.'" They had to ask Jesus for permission, folks. That's how powerful Jesus is in people's lives. When you come in contact with Jesus, Jesus gave them permission. Jesus has the permission to forgive us of our sins today when we ask him. Only he has that power. Obviously, we got power to forgive one another. But the sins that separate us from God, only Jesus has that power. And that's kind of how we come to him and ask permission. "Please forgive us of our sins," when we're baptized into Christ and arise anew. Or when we partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Or in our daily prayers. It's not a specific time. It's multiple times as when we come to him, because his power is always there, ready and available. As we continue with the story, those who fed the swine fled. And they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to the sea to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine, and they began to plead with him to depart from their region. Folks, do we see that today in our world with all the politics and all the stuff and all the protests going on? They hear a little bit of something, they see a little bit of something, and they run up and they stick a microphone in somebody's face and they tell you about it. Then they go back and they want to gather and look at it and they want to watch. How many of us have watched protest on TV or on the internet or regurgitated through Facebook or something? You know? We do the same thing. Same thing today. We go back out to see what happened. Likes, million hits, YouTube. Still happens to us today, folks, when something happens in this world. But when they came in contact with Jesus, what did they do? They saw what was happening. They saw the power of Jesus, the right mind of the person that was demon-possessed, and they were afraid. Folks, there's nothing wrong with being afraid of Jesus. He is the great I Am. He is who he says he is and was. But this is what happens, folks. You have a choice here. We're going to look at the choice that the demon-possessed man made, and then we're looking at the choice of the people that kept the swine. Isn't it funny when you keep and you hang around with pigs, what happens? Don't get me wrong. I like bacon and I like a sausage. And biscuits and gravy, Bob. But then they begin to plead with him to depart from the region, folks. Can you imagine seeing one of the most miraculous things you'd ever heard of, you'd seen, and seeing the person that did it, and then asking him to leave? I don't want anything to do with you. That's scary. I could see you doing that to Satan, but not to Jesus. But the same thing happens in our world today. People see Jesus and his power and goodness and forgiveness and love your enemies, and they say, I don't want nothing to do with that. I'm just fine where I'm at. I want to be mean and hateful, and I don't want to change. I don't want to forgive. Jesus, get away from me. What do we do when we come in contact with Jesus? And when he got in the boat, continuing with our passage, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Here's a contrast of folks that say, "Man, this Jesus is something. Stay away from me." Here's a person that's been saved by Jesus, came in contact with him, and said, "Jesus, I don't want to leave your side." Begged him that I might be with him. You know what? Jesus asked a lot of people, "Come follow me. Leave all you got. Hang out with me. I'm going to have you help me." To this person, this man, Jesus said, "Stay where you're at. Still follow me by telling other people how great I am. Tell them what I've done for you. Tell them how I love you. How I helped you. And as our lesson was this morning, I care about you." And I ask this evening, folks, can we do the same thing in our lives? Can we not go and do the same thing that Jesus said here? I can't be with Jesus right now. He's in heaven. It's a different plane than what we live in. Different dimension, so to speak. But is not Jesus telling us to go to our homes and go to our friends and tell them how great he is and what he does in our lives and that he has compassion on us? Folks, I say yes, he has. And yes, we can do that. Contact with Jesus, folks, can change your life. And it's just not a one-time deal. Daily contact with Jesus to help him guide us by his Holy Spirit. Daily worship and in his word to recognize what the truth is. So we're not led astray by those that say, "Another day." Or by those that say, "You know what, Jesus, we recognized how great you are and what you can do, but I want to do it my way." Or stay away from me. In closing this evening, let's just review. The people that came in contact with Jesus did these things. They saw Jesus from afar. They recognized who he was. They ran and worshiped him. did say, you know what, don't torment me. Don't trouble me. Don't try me. Don't challenge me. I pray for peace in my life at times. And then I think of the type of lives and the glory that the apostles and disciples and people in the early church, what they went through for Jesus. Folks, what do we go through for Jesus? Do we really give all up for Him? Do we ask Jesus, don't try me, don't tempt me? Because God's Word says we will be tempted and tried, right? We sing that song. Are we going to be people that come in contact with Jesus? They fled and they told it in the city and the country and they went out to see what it was that had happened. You just want to go and tell people? You just want to go see what's going on? Do you just want to gossip about things when you come in contact with Jesus? Or do you really want to embrace what He wants you to do? Who He really is? They came to Jesus recognizing how great He was. You know what, folks? You can ask my wife if I'm in my right mind. And you can even ask Wanda, and she'll tell you that, you know, I might not be in my right mind sometimes. I'm just jesting. Look at that. But folks, when we ask ourselves, when we come in contact with Jesus, are we in the right mind? We come prepared to worship? Are we looking for Him to help us in our daily lives? Do we recognize how ugly sin is and we really need Him? Are we so thankful that He came down here and left us such a great example? Above any example in any book ever written in the history of man. To help us be in the right mind. The mind of Christ. Who He wants us to be. Think like He wants us to think. They were afraid, folks. We shouldn't be really afraid of anything. Knowing the power of Jesus and what He's done and who He is in our lives and how much He does for us. Being afraid is kind of like worrying. And you have a struggle with worrying about things, folks. Read Matthew. We did some in our Bible class this morning, Matthew 5 and 6. Jesus pleads with those people in the Sermon on the Mount to recognize, not to worry, not to be afraid, because we have contact with Jesus. Folks, we need to recognize that people will want Jesus out of their lives. They don't want to be around Jesus. And we need to recognize, and it's tough to do, because we love people, we love friends at work, we love people we know, we love our neighbors. But folks, when you recognize, they say, I don't want anything to do with that religion. I don't want anything to do with Jesus. I don't want anything to do with the Bible. We need to recognize that we are in contact with Jesus and we never want to have that come out of our mouth. We don't want to think about that. When's the last time you begged Jesus for something in your life? Could be just something simple. Could be something very big. I go back to the times that I went to the CASA class and helped out. And it amazes me. I told this story to somebody this week. I can't remember who it was. We were talking about it last week or two. Everybody, we go around the table and pray for people's needs. It's funny, we probably ought to do that at the dinner table, Kelly. I never thought about that, but I think it would be neat. You know? I don't know whether we'd be patient enough to have the time when we have a pitch in for everybody to ask for a need and pray for it before we eat. But they do that each time they gather for a CASA class. And my experience has been every one of the inmates asks for prayers for their loved ones, for their friends and family. Now, some of them are coming up to have to go to court, and they pray for themselves or the judge to have a soft heart or for the truth, whatever they're praying for. But they just pray for other people. And I always remember it's a great example for us, folks, when we pray. Now, I pray for myself and for certain things and struggles I have in my life. And that's fine and that's good. But what happens to me if I'm only begging for me? If I'm only praying for myself? I'm missing a world of different ways to help other people by praying for them. Did Jesus only pray for himself? No. Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. You're going to recognize people say, I don't want to hear that. And then you're going to meet people that say, me too. And that'll open some doors to be able to share your faith and study God's holy word with them. He departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him. Folks, have you taken inventory of what Jesus has done for you? All of us have had ups and downs in our lives. Okay? All of us. And it's different. Every up and down, and it's close. Kelly and I have been married 28 years. Her ups and downs have been different than mine. As close as we've been. To assume that we all have the same up and downs is kind of really not reality, folks. So what I recognize as Jesus doing for me when I've come in contact with him is different than what Kelly does. But we got to take time in our lives to recognize how much he's done for us. That brings us peace. That brings us joy. That brings us the calm he's promised us when we come in contact with Jesus in that way. If there's anything tonight's lesson has touched your heart from God's holy word, continue in it this week. Continue in telling people about Jesus. Continue being in contact with Jesus in your daily life. Help others come in contact with Jesus this week. If you had a need to respond to the invitation of the gospel, Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. We offer that invitation this evening, or the prayers of the congregation or prayers of elders for anything you're struggling with at this time. If you feel the need, we invite you to come as we stand and sing the invitation song this evening. Jesus, the loving shepherd.